So in the book of Hosea, chapter 14, we stopped last week at verse number 2. So let's go ahead with reading verse number, I'll just read 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. Read this as a background of those first two verses of chapter 4 so we get the picture. Beginning then, by the way, you can call us at 856-261-9018 or simply email questions@bftbc.org. Enter in, join us, questions and comments, glad to have you. Let's read 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, beginning at verse 1. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words, and turn to the Lord, and say unto him, take away all iniquity, and receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips. Asher shall not save us. We will not ride upon horses, neither will we say any more in the work of our hands, ye are our gods. For indeed the fatherless findeth mercy. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. I will be as the dew upon Israel, and he shall grow as the lily, and cast forth his roots as Lebanon. All right, so who's Hosea writing to? Israel. The how many tribes? The northern ten. What happened to the two? They're what?
South.
Well, the two tribes? They're in the south, that's right.
They went separate.
Did they go into captivity yet? They have their own captivity. In other words, the ten tribes, have they gone yet into captivity as Hosea's writing?
No.
Not yet, but they're headed that way, but they haven't gone yet. And the two tribes, Judah and Benjamin, will one day go into what captivity?
Babylon.
Over here is Babylon. We're over here. Wrong map. We go to the Babylonian captivity, and so this other one went into the, if I get the right map here. Well, I had this up here, I guess. All right. The Babylon captivity way over here, and the Assyrian captivity right here. That's for the ten tribes. Into Assyria, right here. Here's Assyria, up in that way there. So they haven't gone yet, but the plea of Hosea in verse 1 is for the Israel to return. We said that last Thursday, remember, as we can. Return who and to whom? To the Lord. What has caused them not to return to the Lord in verse 1? Their iniquity, their sin. And then take words, not only words, but take away all iniquity. Pray, Lord. And receive us. This is their prayer. Receive us graciously. What do we say graciously meant? Receive us graciously. What is grace? How would you define that?
Unmerited favor.
So without anything that we've done, just because we don't deserve it, receive us in a gracious manner. And we will render the calves. Well, that's the best of offerings, the young calves, and the sacrifice. All right, then verse number 3 we begin this evening. Asher shall not save us. Who's Asher? Asher, yes, and what else is the name for it? It could be Assyria, couldn't it? Asher is one of the tribes, but also it may be a reference to Assyria. Asher, I'm not sure. I thought it was Assyria. But Asher is a tribe of the 12.
Can we look it up?
Yeah, go ahead and look it up, Anne. You know how to dig here. Shall not save us. We will not ride upon horses. Now, what would that indicate? What would they use horses for in Israel?
For battle.
For battle. Battle horses. And what does it say in the Psalm? Faith. What is it? Faith. Really faith. Vain is the help of men. Some trust in chariots. Some trust in horses. We will trust where? In the Lord our God. See, so this is the way. So the chariots will not save. And so not ride on horses. Neither will we say to the work of our hands. We are our gods. What does that refer to? The work of our hands.
Graven images and idols.
Graven images and idols. And did Israel worship idols? Should they have worshiped idols? How did God treat idols? What did he say about idols in the Bible? No other gods before me. The Ten Commandments, the first commandment right there, first and second, are about idols. And then why does the Roman Catholic Church have idols and images?
It's the word of God.
against the word of God. They shouldn't, but so they have. And of course, they say they're not idols, some, but they're images, statues. You look at them, you bow down to them, you kiss them, something, you do different things. But I don't, because I'm not in that system. But we're going to hear God. For in thee, the fatherless shall find mercy. In thee. Who's the thee referred to there in verse 3? In the Lord himself, in God himself. The fatherless shall find mercy. Who are the fatherless? What? Widows and orphans, especially the orphans that lost their mothers or fathers, the fatherless, no fathers, little children, shall find mercy. How would we define mercy? Dan preached on the God of mercy a couple Sundays ago.
Something we don't deserve.
Something we don't deserve. Well, grace is getting something right here. And mercy is what?
Kindness.
Well, not getting something we do deserve. See, not getting something we do deserve. In other words, it's the opposite. We deserve judgment. In God's mercy, he withholds that. And what did the sinner pray when the Pharisee was there beating his chest? I'm glad I'm not like you sinners. I tithe of my offering.
The publican said, God be merciful to the sinner.
The publican said, God be merciful to the sinner. So he didn't even lift up his hand. What did you find out?
I found out according to this drawing, concordance, drawing number 804, it's referring to the second son of Shem, also his descendants of the country occupied by them, i.e. Assyria, its region and its empire.
That's what I thought. See, Asher is another name for Assyria, see, even though it sounds like it's one of the tribes. So in other words, what will Assyria do? They'll take them to captivity. They're not going to save them. They're going to ruin them. They're going to make them captive. It's going to be a day. Thank you, man. I appreciate that. And so the fatherless finding mercy because the Lord is a merciful God. And then in verse 4, what does God promise here to his people, Israel, these who trust him? Healing their backsliding. What is the backsliding? What does that mean?
Going away from the Lord.
All right. Can Christians backslide?
Yeah.
All right. Does that mean they lose their salvation?
No.
But they lose what do they lose?
Fellowship.
Fellowship. That's right. They lose fellowship and stay. And how does a backslidden Christian get back to fellowship and restore the fellowship? Repentance, change their mind concerning sin, and what else? What verse tells us what we're to do?
1 John 1:9.
What is that? Let's say that. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Who is the we referred to? The sinner? Unsaved?
No,
the saved person. If we confess, and we said confess is what? Homo, locale? Well, that's confess. That's repentance. To say the same thing. Homo is same and locale. To say the same thing about our sin that God said. In other words, to agree with God. That's what this word means, confess. If we agree with God, what we said, thought, have done is sin. And he's faithful to forgive us, and he's just in forgiving and cleansing us from all unrighteousness. How often should a Christian perform and take advantage of that verse? Every time they sin, every time the fellowship is gone, and God's promised to restore that fellowship. It's a wonderful promise the Lord has. Heal their backsliding. What are Arminians, and how do the Arminians differ from the Bible's teaching of salvation?
Anna? They say that you can lose your salvation.
They say you can lose your salvation. And so, in the backsliding situation, somebody that's backslidden, can we know from observation whether that person is saved or lost? Just by observing? No. What does a backslidden Christian look like? Act like? Talk like?
Anna? Like the world.
Just like the world. Just like the natural person, see? But does God know the difference? He certainly does, but do people make excuses for backsliding?
Yes.
Oh yeah, they say, "Why just by health or some other reason?" But God says, "I will heal the backslider." In that sense, what does He mean by healing backslider? What does that mean? What is He going to do for them? Heal in what way?
Ask for forgiveness, they'll forgive them.
All right. In other words, he'll make them better. He'll take away the backsliding. He'll make it right. He'll take away the completely delivering from backsliding. Then the second phase of verse 4 is what?
Love.
I will love them freely. Now, why would freely be in there? What does that denote?
Anna? Without any charge to the recipient.
Without any charge. That's good, the recipient, in that sense. Without any restraints, without any ifs, ands, buts, and promises, and conditions. Freely. Absolutely free. In the New Testament, in the book of Romans, it talks about how Christ loved us freely, and freely he's given us his life. And freely, he's going to love them. What about the backslider? Can he love the backslider? Is God capable of loving the backslider? Yes. Are Christians, people that are saved, capable of loving backsliders? Is it easy or is it difficult? Should they love the backsliders? What should they try to do to the backsliders? Help them out, restore them, and?
Pray for them.
That's right. How can a person tell if somebody's a backslider?
They don't attend church.
Well, maybe they don't attend church, they worship and so on. That may be one indication. Not always. They can still be all right. But certain things, maybe they don't read their Bible. They're different. Their heart is not right. But maybe the way they live.
Sometimes, I'm not sure people tell. Yeah, I've heard of accounts that people that I've talked to in the past that they were pastors and they were just kind of, they were not really in the proper state they should have been in for 1 or 2 years. I mean, they were doing everything pastors do. They were preaching the sermons every day. They were just from the outward appearances, it seemed to be everything fine from the casual observer. But ultimately, in their heart of hearts, they knew that they were not right with God. They were in the backslidden state.
Can people that even go to church to read their Bible and pray also be backslidden? Is backsliding always observable? Sometimes it's of the heart. In fact, the heart leads to the outside to go to the outside. It starts within, does it not? The heart. That's what it is. It's the backslidden condition of heart. I'm loving them. I'm going to love them freely. Why is he going to love them freely in verse number 4? There's a condition. He tells us why.
His anger.
His anger is turned away from him. Now, the modernists, do they believe God has anger? Modernists, liberals, what do they say? What's their idea of God? Just love, that's all. Love, 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 everything. How can anger be here as one of the attributes of God? Anna?
Because God is holy, and strong, he cannot be in the presence of sin.
All right. And what is God angry about?
Sin.
Unbelief, and those that are not doing what's right. And so, when his anger is turned away from him, from Israel, I will love them freely. Then verse number 5, he has a simile here of what? Two similes, I guess.
Two.
I will be as dew. I will be as the dew. What's the second one? Grow as the lily. He shall grow as the lily. All right? God's going to be the dew, and he's going to grow. Israel is going to grow these 10 tribes when he's restored. And then what's the last part of this verse 5? Cast forth his roots as Lebanon. So, and the tall trees of Lebanon. So God's going to take care of his people when they're judged and when they go into captivity, as they're restored, and that's a very good promise. Any other comments on these first 5 verses before we go on to 6, 7, and 8? All right, let's read 6, 7, and 8 again. Those who want to listen or call in the questions at bfgbc.org or call us at 856-261-9018. Let's read 6, 7, and 8. His branches shall spread, and his beauty shall be as the olive tree, and his smell as Lebanon. They shall dwell, they that dwell under his shadow shall return. They shall revive as the corn, and grow as the vine. The scent thereof shall be as the wine of Lebanon. Ephraim shall say, what have I to do any more with idols? I have heard him and observed him. I am like a green fir tree. From me is the fruit found. 5, verse 6. The branches, what does his go back to? His branches shall spread. Israel, are these 10 tribes, these northern tribes, when they come back to the Lord, the branches shall spread. What is that a picture of?
A tree.
Right, tree and spreading branches. What is the health of that tree? They grow. I go up down the streets and I see some of these trees, long, great big branches almost all the way across the road. It's amazing. I look at them and some of them are long as anything. What is it? Some of them are way up. As they go higher, the branches shall spread. And this beauty shall be as the olive tree. I don't know many about olive trees. I was over in Israel. I probably have seen a lot of olive trees. I don't remember what they look like, but apparently there's beauty in the olive tree. That's maybe symmetry. Are all trees symmetrical? No, a lot of times they're all bent over, they're moving and so on. Anna?
Sometimes people trim them to avoid the wires, and then they're
more symmetrical. That's right. They trim them to avoid the wires. We have one bush out here in the back that's sort of angled over. See, it's a fir tree. It's a sort of angle. I don't know, they tried to prop it up. It's just a crooked thing. I was looking at this big tree over there. We have a big horse chestnut tree. Is that what it is, honey? Horse chestnut. And I looked at it from afar and said, boy, that thing is not symmetrical. It's sort of a funny looking thing. She said, well, maybe when we chopped off some limbs, we didn't chop them off symmetrically or whatever. But I know one time those critters were getting in our chimney, coming down here, and what are the name of those critters?
Squirrels.
Well, the squirrels occasionally came out. I got one squirrel out of them. They're raccoons. Boy, they were a nest of those things. Couldn't get them out. And the reason was, they climbed over the branch of our big tree out there. Just came right in and just made themselves at home. But the branches shall spread, and beauty shall be as the olive tree. And the smell, what about the smell? Why is Lebanon the smell?
The cedar tree.
Cedar, so they're sweet, the cedar smell, the smell of the cedar. Sometimes you have these little boxes made of wood that they smell, all right? What kind of wood is that?
Cedar.
The sort of cedar wood? You have cedar chests, a different thing. So there's certain smell of the smell of the tree. Now, some people can't smell as well as others. I mean, it's just a question of the age or the sharpness, the acuity, as a lemon. And then in verse number 7, it talks about dwelling. Where? Who's the His referred to here?
The Lord.
Are shadows talked about in Scripture? The Lord's shadow?
Yes.
He that dwelleth in the
shadow
of the Almighty
shall
abide in the fortress of the Almighty.
Shadow.
There's enough verses on the shadows of the Lord, under His shadow. Now, what does a shadow do for us?
Shades.
It shades us. Jonah sought a shadow. He's under the shade. God put a gourd, the shade from him. And when the gourd withered, he's under the sun, and he complained and all. But so God is like a shadow that makes us so we're not under the sun, the burning embers of the sun that hurt us and harm us. And so they that dwell under His shadow shall be what?
Return.
So return. They're going to return to Jerusalem, even though they're taken away to Assyria. And they shall revive as the corn. Now, I'm not a farmer, so anybody know what reviving as the corn would be?
The water comes.
Cass, you have something?
I don't know. I just...
You're not a farmer.
I don't know much about corn.
No. Revive as the corn. Then what about this next phrase in verse 7? If they're under 7, grow as the vine. Well, grapevines, we know they grow and they grow and they grow up. We had grapevines one time, I don't remember just where, in our movements, different places all over the countryside. And grow as the vine. And then the scent, again, as what?
The wine of Lebanon.
The wine of Lebanon. So the smell is Lebanon, and then here's the wine of Lebanon, verse 6 and verse 7. And there's a pleasantness about dwelling under the shadow. Yes? Anna?
Psalm 91, verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place,
but
the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty.
Very good. Shadow. The shadows that will help us. When God dealt with Moses, He didn't let him see His full face. No one has seen God any time, but He put under the cliffs of the rock so to shade him away, to protect him. Power and the might of God, the shadow. So return, grow as the wine of Lebanon. Then in verse 8, Ephraim. Who's Ephraim?
The 10 tribes.
10 tribes, one tribe for the whole 10, the northern tribes. And Ephraim and Manasseh were the two sons of whom?
David.
David?
Oh, wait. No.
Joseph.
Okay.
And where were they born? What was their...
In Egypt.
In Egypt. Why were they born in Egypt?
Because that's what
Joseph. Why did their mother was there? Why did Joseph come to Egypt?
Well, he was
sold
as a slave, and then he got in with the... Pharaoh, and Pharaoh liked
God.
What he was given the ring, but
he got in trouble with the lying woman and got into jail and came out. Which vitamin? Shem. Okay. That's right. He got either the vitamin in the secret place of the Most High, so the vitamin of the shadow of the Almighty. Is that it? Ninety-one. All right. So the shadow. Ephraim shall say, what are they going to say? What are they finally going to repent? Repent means to change the mind. What are they going to repent of in verse 8? What do I do anymore with idols? What does it take for a person to change their mind about something they've done that's wrong? Yeah?
The Lord has to work in their heart.
Well, the Lord has to work, absolutely. If you're, first they have to realize that what they're doing, saying, thinking is wrong, and the Lord works in their heart. Let's get out of this. Let's quit this nonsense. It's horrible. And what have I done with idols? Idolatry. Then I have heard him and observed him. And I am like a green fir tree. I suppose Ephraim is going to say this. From me is thy fruit found. And the Lord then enters in. What do you think Ephraim shall say? What have I done with idols? I have heard him and observed him. Maybe that's the Lord heard him and observed Ephraim. And I'm like a green fir tree, maybe Ephraim observing the Lord. A green fir tree. What do you call a tree that is the fir tree? What is the name of that type of tree?
Evergreen.
Evergreen. And what are the other trees called?
Deciduous.
And deciduous means what?
They lose their leaves.
They lose their leaves, they die, and they're not always... But the evergreen always... Summer and winter, there they are. So that's good, Anna. You got that deciduous, all right, versus evergreen.
Conifer.
What is it?
Conifer.
Conifer is a...
Conifers.
What is it?
Conifers.
Conifers, bearing cones.
Those are the evergreens.
What is it?
Those are the evergreens.
The evergreens are conifers, okay. So, we say evergreen, but it's all right. Conifers are deciduous. All right. Technically, we got all these things. So, observed in like a green fir tree. That's not a Christmas tree, is it? That's just a green fir tree, but whatever, fir tree, whatever.
No.
You don't grow good at any of those things. All right, from me is that fruit found. If you talk about spiritual fruit, where can Christians have fruit from the Lord?
Can you
obtain
it by abiding in Christ and by walking in the Holy Spirit?
All right. And what chapter talks about truth, especially the Lord Jesus told about truth? John 15. What does he say? I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me he can do nothing. So fruit bearing is important. And then, of course, Galatians 5, 22, 23, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, love, joy, peace, and all these things. So from me is thy fruit. Let's read verse 9. I guess we didn't read that, but let's read the last verse of this chapter. Who is wise, he shall understand these things. Prudent, and he shall know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them, but the transgressors shall fall therein. Who is wise? In the New Testament, who does God say is wise? And where does wisdom come?
From the Lord.
The Lord Jesus has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and redemption. All these things he's made unto us. Spiritual wisdom. Bob?
Joseph, today that shall favor thee, light shall shine the brightness of the firmament
and
the
community
of righteousness.
Shines forever.
What's the New Testament verse?
Wise. Where's the wise? Where's the disputer? In 1 Corinthians. He's taken the wise in his own wisdom and the foolishness of man, the foolishness of God is wiser than man. That's in the 1 Corinthians. So God is all wise, and we have a wise God. Who is wise? And he shall understand these things. Wisdom causes understanding. And wisdom should be based on proper knowledge. If you don't have the proper knowledge, are you going to end up properly? You don't know what it is. Well, it's based on proper knowledge, but wisdom is, as we say, the right use of knowledge. And who's like, he shall understand, he said, prudent. What does prudent mean?
Does that mean
applying
wisdom?
That's a sort of a synonym for wisdom. Pardon me?
They
use the words right. Well, that's, I think it's a synonym of wisdom, prudence, and the Prudential is the name of an insurance company, but prudent. Those that are wise and those that are...
Is that different than wisdom?
Pardon me? Well, it's a synonym. You know, it's a little different, yes, prudent and wisdom. Prudent is very extremely wise. As I say, there are different shades of meaning, but who's wise? Prudent, and he shall know them. Who's wise, he shall understand these things. Prudent, he shall know them. Those are the right things. Those are the things to do. And then the last part of verse 9, what about right and wrong? Who determines this? Where can you find it?
You can find it in the Bible.
The Bible determines it. And it talks about the ways of the Lord. What about those ways? Verse 9.
The way.
They're right. Does everyone believe that God's ways are right? What do they think?
That they're old-fashioned.
Well, sometimes old-fashioned. What else? What are the things that the world, that some Christians, think God is wrong, not right, in doing?
In punishing them for their sins.
For this end, they don't think that's right. God is just and righteous in all that he does. Bonnie's sister doesn't want anybody to do too much. But the things of the Lord are right. His judgment is right. Heaven is right. Hell and the lake of fire and all these things are right. The ways of the Lord are right.
Well, right now the world says the sinners are right and that the good people that try to stand for righteousness, they say we're wicked. So.
Yes, they say we're extremists.
That's what the Lord says in the Bible. It's true today.
That's right. And the people that are for abortion and killing babies, they think those of us who are against that as murder are crazy. They think, but the ways of the Lord, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit murder. No matter if it's a little baby or not, 1.5 million a year on the average, our country, this country, the United States alone, plus all the world. And all these things that our president is for, he's going to speak at the Roman Catholic school right there, and there on Sunday, and a big uproar about that because he's the greatest advocate of abortion any president I've ever had, even though some were for abortion, but not like him. You get that baby, he's come out of the mother and he's healthy, kill that baby. That's what that man voted for in the Senate. Kill that baby even after he's alive. He voted that that's all right to do when he was in the Senate of Illinois. And other things, he appoints people that are pro-abortion from all kinds of things. Anna? I see that, Anna.
I know. You won't mean to imply that the baby's not alive before it's born, do you?
Pardon me?
The baby's alive before it's even born.
Oh, yes. What I mean is, out completely born, and that's it. Oh, yes. The baby's alive right from, et cetera, absolutely. So, God's ways are right. And some of us who are following the ways of the Lord are not always accepted by the world because they don't agree that God's ways are right. God's ways are always right. Very important to see that. Then the just, what are they going to do? That's the thing that determines if we're saved and born again. We walk in those ways that are God's ways and found in the Scriptures. If we don't know the Scriptures, we don't know what the ways are to walk. But the just shall walk. It reminds me of John chapter 10 and verse 27. Let's say that together. John 10, verse 7. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Just that first part, they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man put them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to cut them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. I know them and they follow me. See, this, by their fruits you know that those that are saved according to they follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think here, he that is just shall walk in them. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fairly, I walk, just walk, David, walk with the Lord. And?
I mean, this is because earlier you were saying we can't know the unbeliever from the believer, or if someone's
backs
on that. So how then can we also, by their fruits, you shall know them? I'm not understanding how we can have both principles and action.
Mm-hmm. Well, those that produce bad, evil fruit are not from the proper source. Those that produce good fruit are from the proper source. That's the Lord's teaching in the Gospels. But the ones, it's hard to distinguish humanly between a backslidden.
No.
What is it?
I don't think
we can. No, we can't. Only the Lord, as it says in 2 Timothy 3:19, the Lord knoweth them that are his. The Lord knoweth them that are his. And only he knows. And but those that are living like the world, that are carnal, they can be saved or born again, but they live like the world, using the flesh instead of the spirit, walking by the flesh. You can't tell them between that and the unsaved. You don't really know. There's no way to know. And so, but in the same way here, the just shall walk in the ways of the Lord. Now, let me ask you this. Are all those that walk in the ways of the Lord just, saved, and born again? No, you've got a lot of unsaved people. Sometimes they walk closer and more to the ways of the right way than some Christians. There are people that are trying to get to heaven by doing good works. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, Bob?
How can you walk in the way of the Lord if you're not from the Lord?
Well, I mean, say walk in the things that are right, things that are scriptural, things that are right. They don't smoke, they don't drink, they don't divorce, they don't do it. Well, these are things that's the Lord is for that. They don't believe in abortion, they don't believe this, they do this. They look nice, they smell nice, they live nice, everything's fine. They're very happy, but they're lost. See, that's the thing.
They're not walking the way of the Lord.
I understand as far as perfectly the way of the Lord, but the things that the Lord believes in, the things the scriptures say that are right. There's no adultery, there's no fornication, there's no lesbian, all these things. Their works, you can't tell them by their works that they're saved or lost. All right? Sometimes you can talk to people, you look at a person and they're lost in anything, but they look like they're very nice people. Dress nice, look nice, talk nice, but they're lost. We've got to be careful with hypocrisy. That's what I'm getting at. Hypocrisy. Anna?
You just said that you can't know whether they're saved or lost, so then how can you know them by their fruits?
Well, you can know them generally by their fruits. The Lord Jesus said that. I didn't say that. I'm not going to contradict the Lord.
Well, the fruits can be those that are saved. I mean, a saved person will try and save other people. So that would be the fruit. Where they wouldn't necessarily, if you're unsaved, you're not going to try and save people.
That's true. That's Tammy?
Isn't that verse, by their fruits you shall know them, that's referring to false teachers? It's not referring to someone that professes in Christ.
That's one of the uses of it, yes.
That was how it was given, wasn't it?
Yes, you can't, a fig tree is olive berries and different things. You know, a good tree is known by its fruit. If you got good fruit, it's from a good source. If you got bad fruit, it's a bad source. He's still telling that as an illustration. I think we can apply that. In other words, people look like good people in churches. I don't care where you go. Do you know for sure that those good people that attend church every single Sunday are saved? Are you sure they're saved? By looking. Know what they do? See, you can't. The Lord knows the heart. It's got to be a heart thing. You don't know that they're saved, so you got to be very careful. And yet there's some people that are in the world. They go to modernistic churches. Yet they live what we consider to be good lives. And walk in the ways of the Lord up until as much as they can. They can't live completely to please the Lord because they're lost.
But people don't have any spiritual conflict.
Pardon me?
They don't have any spiritual conflict. They may be walking in the ways of the Lord, but they don't have any spiritual conflict. Satan is pleased with how they're living.
Oh,
because
yes.
They're professing that their works are going to save them. You know, so it's leading everyone astray.
Yes, it is. It leads everyone astray. That's right. And so, but the just that really are saved, how can somebody be just, by the way? How can the lost people be just?
Lost people?
Yes, how can lost people become just?
Only by receiving Christ as your Savior.
Only by His righteousness.
Right, not
only
their...
Romans 5.1, let's say it, Romans 5.1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we shall have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Justified, made, declared just by faith in Christ, we have peace with God. So, thus shall walk. But the transgressors, what are all they do with the ways of the world? They fall therein, in the ways of the world. They fall, they can't do it, because there's no power to do it. When the Lord saves a person, person is born again, God the Holy Spirit indwells them and gives them power to do His will. And the unsaved have no power. They fall. They can't walk in the ways of the Lord. They can be pretty good at the image. They can't walk completely in the ways of the Lord. Well, Wendy, go ahead.
Hi, Pastor. Wendy.
Yes.
I've been sitting here listening and it's taken me a while to call. But I guess I can say for myself that I have backslidden. God, I think, allowed us in our miry clay for a while, Pastor. But that Holy Spirit makes you very uncomfortable, even though you're doing the wrong thing. I think that's where it comes in with backsliding. If you truly are sick, you're not going to be comfortable in that sense. Sometimes it takes a longer time. Sometimes we're hot-headed. We don't want to go back, but I guess in my own case, I had to sit here and call, and I guess I agree with you. We can have people out there that can say that they're saved, and if they're living in a wicked lifestyle, we as people can look at them and think that maybe they're not, but only the Lord knows their heart, but they can't be comfortable in what they're doing.
Right.
And it took me a while, and it was, like I said, it was hard for me to call because I never thought that I'd walk outside the Lord. If people think they can't go outside the Lord, they sure can. And it was with Jucha, our pastor, it was through to, like you said, Pastor, it's inside the heart. And, you know, we just think of ourselves right and stuff. And my man, Julia, Pastor, when I was 16 and endoscopy, I was so afraid to die and all this other stuff. And I got on my knees, on my chair, crying my heart out to the Lord and telling Him if I was not saved, to save me, and Pastor, I don't have a fear anymore.
Praise the Lord. Okay, thank you for your call, Wendy. Appreciate that. God bless. No, the sinner, though they can outwardly seem to be walking in the ways of the Lord and righteous things, deep deeds, they can't fully walk in His ways unless they know the Lord. That's a certain thing. Any other comments on the book of Hosea? We're finished with that. We're going to start in the book of Joel. Just take a few words. Do you have any other comments on this chapter or other chapters from Hosea? Yvonne?
Can we review again for the what time? Who was the king during the time?
No, this is from Hosea 1:1. This is the word of the Lord that came unto Hosea, the son of Uri, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel.
That'd be Jeroboam the second. That'd be the same. Yeah, those are the kings that were reigning. Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, and Judah, southern kings. And Jeroboam the second, son of Joash, king of Israel. All right, any other comments or questions before we go on to Joel? Polly, did you want to tell us what you did today, if you wish to?
Speak louder. I accepted God in my heart, and I feel so good about it. I love Him dearly, and I want to bless each and every one of you that's in this room.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you,
Paul. George is just test.
Bonnie.
Yeah, Bonnie.
Said that she laughed because she said she came here an hour earlier.
Yeah.
And I said the Lord had a reason for
that's
that.
That's right.
And we prayed the Lord.
That's right. Came an hour early. 7 o'clock instead of 8.
What's her name?
Pauline. Yeah, you have
that all planned out ahead of time.
Yes, I hope it's genuine. I hope it's real. All right, let's go to the book of Joel. Joel was written about 800 B.C. He was earlier than Hosea. Let's just read a few verses and then we'll close. Let's read verses 1, 2, and 3. Joel, he was a prophet of Judah, probably wrote also to the 10 tribes. And Elijah was there. Elisha was their contemporary. So he's in the early days when Elijah and Elisha were there, apparently. Let's read verses 1, 2, and 3, and then we'll close for tonight. The word of the Lord that came to Joel, the son of the fool, hear this, O ye old men, and give ear, all ye inhabitants of the land. Hath this been in your days, or even in the days of your fathers? Tell ye your children of it, and let your children tell their children another generation. This is important. Joel, the word of the Lord came to Joel. God spoke to him and through him, and he was now a prophet of the Lord. What people does he talk to? What group of people? Two groups. Verse number two. First group? The old men. Second group? All the inhabitants of the land. Been this in your days, in the days of your father. There's something going to happen that has not happened in the old time or even a few times in the future. And then what, when this happens, what are you supposed to, who are you supposed to tell of it in verse three?
The children.
All right, that's the first group. Children.
And then the children.
Children tell their children. What's the next group?
Another
generation. So there's three generations, one, two, three. And that's what we should do with the gospel. That's what we do with the things of the Lord. Just keep on telling and telling. And, yes, Anne?
I don't think maybe that my dad could tell us what the names of these people
are. Joel and Joel. Yes, Joel. God, what's Joel mean?
Jehovah is God, I believe.
Jehovah is God, all right? You got that down, right?
I read that, yes.
That priest on this book of Joel.
In here.
Good. All right.
What about the fool?
Because that's face of God, or?
Well, that's the name.
Peniel.
Peniel's face of God, yeah.
Can we look it up?
Sure, look it up.
What is it? All right, so well, she's...
Three generations or four generations?
Well, maybe it's four.
No, but yeah, you start counting.
You're right. You start with the person that's talking. If I'm here, I tell my children, that their children, their children, and then the children's others, they're really four generations, Dan. That's right. Because the person that is going to do the telling is one generation.
Right.
Has got the children. So one, two, three, four. And that's the way it ought to be. Tell the gospel. We hope and pray that our children will love the Lord, and our grandchildren and great-grandchildren.
See? Is it
great-grandchildren or great-grandchildren? Well, you, I'm here. The children, the next best children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. Right there at your forehead, Dan.
I got a note from Wisconsin. It says, welcome to God's family, Pauline.
Okay, false. I hope it's generous. Good, thank you. Wendy? Yes, sir. Pat?
I was just going to say about generation. We talked about this before, I think, somewhere. I didn't have any, but my mother was Catholic, so she taught me a lot of things, but that didn't teach me about that.
Uh-huh.
So I guess it has to start somewhere.
Yes. Start with you, your generation.
Hopefully my children will. I mean, yes, they don't all believe.
You have some that do, right?
I do.
That's
true.
All of our children, we trust the grandchildren. Don't know about the grandchildren and the great. You just have to keep asking the Lord that there will not be a, will be an unbroken cycle. It's important. All right, I think we're closed. Anna, you can look. Yeah, got it already? Go ahead.
Sure.
We'll get that maybe next Thursday. How about that? All right, let's close in for the word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you we can discuss these things of eternity, and we ask the Lord that we may be telling our children, our children's children, and great-grandchildren, all these different succession of people. Help us to live to please thee, that others may see our lives, and they can say, I'd like to have what you have. We pray for Pauline and her decision for accepting our Savior. We thank you for the class that we've had since this evening. We ask thee, Lord, that thou wouldst help us to live for our Savior. Bring us back safely on the Lord's Day, and bring friends from North Jersey safely here, Guy and Nan and Barbara Crowder, that they may be a blessing to us and we to them as we minister to them the Scriptures. Continue to go with us, bless us, and use us to thy glory. We pray in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. All right, thank you for coming in.